All right, welcome back to another episode of the Man That Can Project podcast. I'm your host, Lachie Stewart. I'm the founder of this global movement and podcast, or host of the podcast, which is super exciting and is doing some great things currently. But for those who are tuning in for the first time, the Man That Can Project is a global movement, as stated by me, created to empower men so they can become the man they were meant to be, right? By awakening who they truly are, giving them the confidence to be that version of themselves. I have an ultimate vision to help men overcome the mental and emotional challenges that are holding them back, that are keeping them stuck, right? And I believe that cultural conditioning must be let go of for men to live that authentic life that gives them the freedom and happiness that they desire, or that you guys desire. And my power to create, I believe, a real and authentic experience for men to grow and expand, whether it's, you know, COVID-19's going around at the moment. So online is where we're really focused, but in other times, live events is really where how we help men take men on a journey like no other. So thank you guys for joining me. Today's episode, I got my buddy from New Zealand. He's literally just got straight off the plane at the time of recording this, so I appreciate him making the time to be on here. We have a phenomenal chat. Right, a phenomenal chat around nutrition and mental health, what he's doing over in New Zealand to help men's health, which I think is phenomenal. Check out the Man Cave if you're over that way. Okay, but this chat is awesome, and I really appreciate Conrad being vulnerable, sharing his experience, you know, coming from professional sport or working in professional sport even still throughout this episode. So remember, guys, really appreciate you guys sharing this content, giving it to men who need it or who you know will get value from it, because it's that ripple effect. You know, there's so many of us who are wanting to make a difference, and literally, whether it's sharing this podcast or even a book or part of something that you hear that you find will add value to a mate in your life, it really creates that ripple effect. And it could just be, right? It could just be that one thing that completely changes your mate's life. So thank you guys who are going that extra mile to share this episode, whether it's on your socials or just send people a link. I really appreciate that. And you know, you guys are what's making this podcast start charting around the world. So thank you guys diving in. Enjoy the episode. Have a great day.
Okay, gents. Conrad has literally just got in off a flight from New Zealand. How long was your flight?
I was only 3 hours from Auckland, but I had a Christchurch to Auckland flight before then. So I've been up since 12 o'clock your last time.
Mate, I'm running. I was in dreamland at that point in time, but it's good to have you here.
Yeah, mate.
I appreciate making the effort. It's been, when were you last year?
November last year, maybe. Yeah. Right. Pre-season.
Yeah, pre-season. And now you're mid-season.
Now we're mid-season.
So before we sort of dive in, I know there's so many things we can cover. Time permitting, we'll sort of just dive into a few different things. We'll give ourselves about an hour. We'll make that work.
Yeah, easy.
But yeah, there's some cool things you're up to. Obviously, you know, you're a nutritionist or dietitian. So
yeah, yeah, easy.
Sorry, bro. That look you gave me there was like, no way. But you've also recently started the Man Cave over in New Zealand as well, which has been awesome to follow your journey. But for those who haven't been following the journey, we met in September.
That was all a big
Yeah, we met anyway. Lululemon hosted an incredible event called The Huddle, and we all got, you know, 30 men from around Australia and New Zealand, got flown down to Melbourne, and we went to a winery of all places. But we got to do a heap of exercises, connect, train or sweat, and just socialize, which was awesome because, you know, we've become good mates from that place, and learning more about I guess what some incredible men are doing in the health and fitness space to inspire and empower men from all around Australia and New Zealand. And watching what you've been doing is fucking magical. But I'll pass it over to you. If you want to introduce yourself to the lads, and there's also some ladies that listen as well, so thank you for all your support, but I'll pass it over to you.
It's quite interesting. I'm not used to speaking with a male platform because my job and demographic is, I think, something like 66% running female.
Really?
Yeah, social, just because nutrition, so gents get on. And
we might have some more female followers after this.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we get on, hopefully. It's always good, eh? Because I think as I went to a talk last night actually with one of the fellow dietitians, and she talks about hormone health, and I was really surprised there wasn't enough guys there. And I'm just like, you know, we talk about female hormones, kind of, it'd be really good to support your wife and understand your wife, like they'd want to understand us as well. Yep. So just side note before we even get started, I think it's always good stuff to know. But
100%.
Yeah. I don't even know, where I want to start, but a little bit about me. And obviously, this is actually going to be my first podcast. I'm not sure whether you knew that. So
I didn't know that, mate.
It's popping my podcast cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
responsibility.
I'm probably going to start nodding when I'm actually saying yeah. So I've got to get used to that. But anyway, we'll stop mucking around. Who am I? I'm just merely a dude. I'm the same, I know, life journey as what a lot of other people are as well. And I've got a real passion to inspire. I've always have, you know, sort of led from the front and hope that other men and women live the best lives they can through the stuff that I teach them. Where's it started? I think I've played sports since I was 4 years old. I'm dyslexic, so I got a lot of work on my English, and it's always been lowest English class, highest math class. Really weird.
Really?
Concept. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's just the way it was in terms of my schooling. And I'll never forget my chemistry teacher. I actually wanted to go to university to do veterinary. And, you know, one of the hardest courses, harder to get into than medicine in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So my chemistry teacher pretty much said straight up, he goes, you're not going to get into that. Sure enough, went along, gave it a crack, joined the rugby club, had a few too many beers. And I was like, yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And decided that my passion and my drive was sport. And actually, it was like second year that I was there trying to make prems and put on some size, and met one of the props in the gym, and he goes, you got to try this paleo diet, man, like it's the next big thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
get real lean, you put on heaps of weight. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure enough. So here I am, this poor student just nailing chicken breasts left on center. This scrawny little I'm not that tall, but 170 centimeters, but 65 kilos, I think it might have been, or 70 odd kilos.
Yep.
Like, and then I just, yeah.
Anyway, did it work?
Nah. Oh,
okay.
Nah. So that's where it got me into nutrition. I've sort of thought, surely there's a better way of doing this. And that sent me down to Otago, and I cross-credited what I could, took away a business diploma,
nice.
Walked away with a Bachelor of Applied Science, majoring in sport and exercise nutrition, along with a few minors, and then went and did Masters of Dietetics. So all in all, it was 8 years at uni, but
it's a long time, but it's
so much growth through that time.
Yeah.
And coming out the other end, I every fail, every hurdle, every win, success was kind of molded me into where I am. And then the reason why I'm in Brisbane is I'm actually meant to be in Japan, and sent Lockie a message.
Wrong flight.
So I worked for the Crusaders as the dietitian, and they were meant to be playing the Sunwolves.
We got a big American audience. The Canterbury Crusaders are the all-time leading. They're probably one of the greatest sporting clubs ever.
Yeah, so they did a study, was it last year, I think they announced it, as they put Crusaders in terms of it was Oceania, the greatest team of all sports, all levels, all the rest of it. Mm. In terms of rugby union, they have the most titles by a long shot.
Yep.
Well,
they've been one of the last 2 years again, right? Is it the last 2 years?
Yeah, three years
sorry,
on the trot.
Robin,
so they're going
on,
four.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going four. So I've been with a club, so I pretty much walked straight out of uni, applied for a job that I thought I was never going to get, landed an interview, and my manager tells me every single day I rocked up in this light blue shirt and I'm a sweater, man. And it's just the number one rule, if you ever go to a job interview, you're shitting yourself for. Don't wear a light-coloured shirt. And apparently I was just wet and colour difference. It's like a chameleon.
And it worked.
And it worked. And yeah, so I rocked in there. And so I'm just my third season with them now. And I cover the Crusaders, but also like the provincial team. I'm not sure what you guys have as comparison, but that's the
Australian rugby, we don't have anything that's comparison.
Yeah,
really.
But it's kind of like the in-between Super Rugby, which is full-time professional, to you get sort of those part-time professional athletes that come in for a few months.
Yep.
A lot of talent, really
yep.
cool competition to watch, as well as I work in the academy
yep.
as well, and work with the young,
so yeah,
young up-and-coming guys. So,
full.
Yeah, in terms of rugby stuff, and then you chuck my private practice on top of that. Yeah, so she's She's all go.
Full schedule, mate. What would be some, like, are there any noticeable differences that you see from the guys in the development, sort of up and coming guys, as opposed to the full time squad, in terms of, like, you know, you being a dietitian, looking at their diet, but also other practices that work towards, I guess, being a thriving individual, you know, from sleep to nutrition to personal development to all those sorts of things. Probably the things that we would look that to prioritize in order to have really positive mental well-being or mental health.
Mm. I guess I've got to pose the question is, what do you see a nutritionist's role doing and just coming in and, like, say they're part-time, and what do you expect to get out of a nutritionist?
For me personally, like, I just want something simple that's easy to follow to help me feel good and, like, feel like I have energy and not, you know, not damaging my health. I also know from a lot of my clients, they look to dietitians or nutritionists to spoon feed them the whole way, and there's no sort of no responsibility from that. So I think from where I stand, it's like, I want support, but I also want to be educated.
And what's the outcome that they're looking for if they see a nutritionist or a dietitian?
You know, whether it's just basically to look, feel, and perform well.
Yeah, yeah. And what we get a lot, the old mentality is very much, you know, weight, skin folds,
yep,
focus, a performance focus, where they try to draw, you know, correlations between performance and throw and all the rest of it. Yep. And that's the dietitian's, or that was the nutritionist's role. And that's where I've come into the environment, and I've tried to change it a little bit, change the scope, like looking at the overall individual.
Yep.
In New Zealand, we have the sort of, it's like a Māori health model that looks at the four pillars, and it's important that each of those four pillars are as strong as each other.
Yep.
To keep, obviously, the roof up, and it's looking at not only physical, the emotional.
Yep.
And what else was there? God, it's caught me on the spot here.
No, that's all right.
But yeah, spiritual and mental.
Yep.
So you get all those four, it's really important that they have to work in tandem.
Yep.
So you can't just look at the physical, because what's the implications of that down the track? And what we've found is, when you're so focused on skin folds and antthro and body weight, that you lose sight of all that other stuff.
Yep.
And it's working on the process, you're working on such an end outcome where the process isn't actually done well. And so what are they learning, or what are they missing because of that? And it goes for everyone, not just rugby players or anybody. Like, and that's what's really interesting, is when you talk about the old and the new, because my role is so new,
yep,
nutrition such a new area to change in professional sport, so I've kind of had free rein to do what I need to do.
Do you feel that's a benefit?
Like, oh, massive. Yep. Yeah, and I think the personality that I am, I don't really like to be tied down too much either.
Yep.
But, you know, you need to get a job done.
Yep.
There is things you have to do. But looking at it from the old fella to the young guys, I think the reason why I love working with the academy is because there's a growth mindset.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we always talk about. We always challenge. And now seeing some of the young guys coming through and seeing them flourish, because I've been with them for 2 years now, so to be making the Super Rugby teams and to be doing really well, it's such a cool, we'll just know that my work's that I've done, and rather than focus on the traditional method of skin fold, this whole shift in the dietitian model, and what we try push is the whole person,
giving them well-being. That holistic approach.
And fighting for the player as well,
yep,
in that sense, and going, well, okay, this is a measure, it's just a performance measure of what are the reasons why he's or she is struggling. So I have worked with women as well.
Yep. Well, that it's spot on. Like, there could be reasons why people, and even myself, like, I go through phases where my, you know, diet's on point, I'm eating really well, and I'm eating how I know I should be to get the results that I want in my life, or to show up how I want, but then, and there'll be times when my focus shifts, or I just neglect those areas. And when I hit sort of, not a rock bottom, but my performance slips dramatically, I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? And then I go back to, I've been focusing on my physical health because I've been in the gym, smashing myself, but my nutrition slipped.
Mm.
So therefore I've not been feeling as good. I've been feeling sluggish, and it then sort of starts chipping away at the other pillars that you mentioned. So I think it's cool that you really focus on balancing them all out. Like, they have to go hand in hand, otherwise they just eat away at each other.
Mm.
And so many people neglect that. They think there's you know, we got to all constantly put in the work, right? Like, it's so important to nail that. That's for sure.
And that's where I think we had a discussion when I said last time around. I think it was a time you got really lean,
yeah,
or something, and then just everything fell apart around you.
Like shit.
Yeah, and that is just a prime example of. I think this, those pillars sort of crumbling around you, and it's just, and that's where, as a dietitian, half our job is actually understand food. Like, anybody can go research what it is,
yep,
that is in food, you know, macro and micronutrients. You,
yep,
go to an online course, it'll take you 6 weeks.
Yep.
But to be and actually understand how to implement nutrition and know behavior change,
yep,
is why my studies and my master's degree was so beneficial.
Yep.
In the role that I work with now.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't,
yeah,
the sport nutrition. Wasn't the whole, you know, what you should be eating when and the timings,
yep,
all the rest of it. Got to dial it right back, and actually, yep, who's that individual sitting in front of you, and how do you get the information you need, and how do you get the intervention into them that they require to then go on and be better?
Do you have sort of like a simple process that you would give to like anyone listening right now who, and this is probably a hard question to, but like for someone sitting there right now who wants to make some
changes? Yeah, so obviously I work in private practice as well. I deal with people all the time that are in this boat.
Yep.
If you're invested enough to go out and seek nutrition advice,
yep,
generally you've got a good handle on nutrition. So sit back, look at what the hell you're doing,
yep,
change it, and see if it makes a change. But,
yeah,
don't listen to anybody else. Listen to know what you do,
yep,
and how it affects you.
Yeah.
So it's all about this reflect and adapt. And that's what I always talk about.
I like it.
Literally write down, number one thing, if you don't want to go invest in anybody yet, I would say invest in people, obviously sell them a business. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's really important you go away and you go, write down all your food for the week. Write it down so you can see it all on an A4 piece,
yep,
of paper. Write down where you're training and write down how you felt. Start to connect the dots going, am I missing meals? Am I not eating enough at certain meals?
Mm-hmm.
Am I training too much,
mm-hmm,
one day? And you can see that most people can actually make the decision themselves.
It just comes back to taking ownership, right?
100%.
And it's funny, like, there's people even that I train, and they're like, I'm just like, just track your food for 1 week. Like, I'm not saying track your calories and all that sort of shit for a long period of time, but just do it for 1 week, and even that for some people is too hard.
Mm.
I'm like, well, you clearly aren't that invested in understanding how your body works, what's causing the highs and lows of energy, and understanding what foods make you feel certain ways. But if you can, the reflect and adapt is amazing, and that works for all aspects of our life, because it works for knowing what things make you happy, what makes things make you feel sad, fucking all kinds of things. But we don't take the time, or we feel like we're too busy, or we just try to keep running, that we just never find out the things that really make us perform at our best. That's why you need to see Conrad and myself.
Yeah, well, that's how we work, eh?
Yeah.
It's just that it's a bigger picture, or big model, or big, yeah,
yep,
big picture view, and it's really important. But I guess with that review and adapt model, or looking at, you know, like when you go have you're gonna go out and get a massive night on the Saturday night. Say a mate's got a birthday and you're like,
yep,
all right, I'm gonna send it, you know,
yeah,
I'm big.
It's game on.
You're preparing for the next day, you know what that feels like, and you know why that's happened.
Yep.
Figure out why you're feeling like shit in the afternoon because you're having 5 or 6 coffees a day and not a decent lunch.
Yep.
You know, like, start to piece that together, because it may not be as drastic as a significant,
yep,
hangover that you have for 3 days to find that change, but little notes, and that's where I think journaling's so important to write down, you know, if you don't want to journal on your feelings as in depth,
yep,
or gratitude or the rest of it,
yep,
try food, or try where you feel in terms of where you are in relation to what's happened that day.
Spot on with that, man. Like, my training was going to absolute. One, I wasn't motivated. I was training so poorly, and I didn't think I was that unfit or that lost that much strength. But it dialed down to when I actually took some time to reflect on it. I wasn't eating enough. Like, I was eating breakfast and then maybe an afternoon snack and dinner, whereas I was burning about 3,000 calories minimum, I'd say, a day with the amount of walking I do and then training.
Yeah.
So I felt like shit, and I was kept going, fuck, maybe I'm just something. And my self-talk started changing. I was like, you're not as fit as you used to be. Maybe it's old. You're 29 now, mate. You're fucked. Like,
yeah.
All these other thoughts started happening. And when the moment that I went back and just put two more meals in my day, not massive, but just two more meals, I feel amazing. Like, and it's helped with my self-talk. It's helped with my training. It's helped with how I feel about myself. And it was just literally addressing one thing.
Yeah, it comes down to what we actually see more often is a thing called Red S. It's restricted energy deficiency in sport.
Yep.
Because people are training more,
yep.
We are still not eating enough in comparison. So you go around, the average person is meant to eat 2,000 calories.
Yep.
Yeah, like everything on the labels is what that's designed to do.
Yep.
Now that's like a 70-kilo male who sits at a desk and doesn't do a hell of a lot of exercise.
Yeah, sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, and there's all these challenges and stuff that come out that smack you straight on a 1,200 or a 1,500 calorie diet, and then smash you with training. So you're only eating half of what you actually need, and your body compensates by slowing down. By
self-efficient.
And essentially what it's trying to do is hold on to it. And it's not this ruining your metabolism that people throw around.
Yep.
It's actually about your body's just trying to deal or plant, like
preserve
whatever food you've got. And you just got to treat your body like your car. You know, like you're putting fuel into your car. The more you drive, the more fuel you use. But then you go into the next thing is people go, oh, I can eat whatever I want when I train heaps. Well, you can, but then you're not servicing, you're not oiling and or putting decent fuel into your car.
Yeah.
It's just, you can drive a car without oil around as long as you can, but it's going to shit the bed sooner than you want it
to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's you got to think about your body at the same sort of context. So obviously, the more Ks you do, the more you got to service it and the more you have to look after it.
Yep.
And that comes down to other aspects as well in terms of the whole recovery side of things.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Mm.
I just looked at your wrist. We've got the same armbands on.
Oh, yeah, awesome, I've still got
you're
it.
Still repping that.
Yeah.
The Man That Can armband. But that leads me then into the Man Cave, right? Like, so since we last caught up, you've launched the Man Cave in New Zealand, which I think it's been awesome to watch on the Instagram. For those who want to follow along, it's mancave_NZ.
I think it's man_cave_NZ.
Yeah. I'll
put it. Obviously there's a few of them around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, yeah.
We'll put it in the notes for those who want to follow it, but it's been cool. So I guess I'd love to hear, because I've got a lot of Kiwi mates and stuff. It'd be cool to find out more about, like, that whole experience for you, what led you to want to do that, the intention behind it, what people can get, what it can give to people. So,
yeah, I think it comes back to how we met. Like last year, I was going through a whole number of things. Like dad got crook, stress at work, just everything kind of piled up.
Yep.
Saw some counsellor, saw a couple of sessions there. You know, it helped. But for me personally, like, I understand everything that kind of happens behind it and talking to people and like-minded to truly understand was something I was craving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where the huddle came in and why it was so awesome that I got sent to Melbourne out of the blue. I thought it was spam. It was the same as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so did all that and I was just like, damn, this thing's awesome.
Yep.
So Christchurch, obviously after everything that's gone on with the earthquakes and the shootings, like, there's a lot of... The shooting wasn't my time, but the earthquakes was before, and you can actually see the trauma still there. And it's really important that what we're trying to do is not trying to be counselling or psychologist service.
Yep.
We're purely just a sound wall for guys to talk about whatever it is.
Yep.
And that's what my vision was, and then coming over and seeing what you... Because I had no idea what I was going to do. I was like, I want to do this thing. I'll figure out how to get it done. Then I came over and did... you're one of your men's circles. I'm like that's it. It's so simple, but it's just creating the attitude that it is okay to sit in a circle and just chat about it, and then let it grow by itself. Because we've got some epic people in Christchurch. It's a hell of a place. I love it.
Yep.
but I think it's something we don't do enough of.
Yeah, yeah.
Is create that opportunity for those people. So it's been interesting with Journey trying to get it on, get people. So I knew that the circle straight off the bat probably wouldn't be, you know, like people. I just have, you know, my mates and stuff come.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I didn't really want it to be like that. I want it to be, I want just real different people.
Yep.
To be part of it so they can understand different cultures and attitudes and all the rest of it. And so I put out this, put out a video, got a mate to help, and
it was a
mate, he's
fucking
good.
Epic
Tony,
video, man. I loved it when I yeah. watched it. I was like, I need to do something like that.
Yeah.
That's wicked.
Yeah, so, and it's quite useful. So we got a whole lot of nominations for 20 guys to start off this.
Yep.
It was a 4-week journey, essentially. They came in one evening each week for 4 weeks. They
yep.
kind of just had, they had to commit. Obviously things come up with work and family issues and all the rest
yep.
of it that some guys miss some, but in terms of investment,
yep.
they were nominated, they got offered the spot, whether they
See.
Took it or not,
yep.
that was up to them. So we grew that, and the whole structure of it was past, present, future, and then I finished with You Are Loved.
Yep.
And the big thing with the final one is we don't tell men enough that
yep.
they're loved. So we sort 100%. Of built videos and stuff around that, which was really cool. But I think it's really important, it was the way it started, because there was so much hype and
yep.
talk about these men's circles about vulnerability is, and our slogan is vulnerability is masculinity.
Yep.
So we're trying to change the face of masculinity, hence where the name came from, because one of the guys that I work slash train with, and he's a good mate of mine, said, he's like, oh, it's a man cave. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, isn't it your thing called the man cave? I was like, nah, but that's awesome, because
yeah.
cause we always see the man cave as a place for, you know, hanging out and chatting and
yep.
throwing darts and having beers and all the rest of it. So we want to add this element in there, because
yep.
something that my partner, and my partner's been a complete godsend for me, and she does this thing called Wednesday Wines.
Yeah, right.
So they sit down in a group with chicks and pretty much just talk about all their life's trouble. And I'm
yep.
like, I want something like that. You know, like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
So that's where it's kind of, like, a build from. And that was the name, the structure. But, yeah, day one, a lot of hype, all the rest of it. And I turned up, set down our, you know, like, our five rules, essentially.
Yep.
And big one was, you know, like, showing up,
yep.
be vulnerable, all the rest
yep.
of it. And fuck me, dude, there was just unpack some serious stuff. And I was just, it completely and utterly blew me away that guys were
yep.
craving exactly what I was craving for so long.
Yep.
And what was really good, you know, we did that, and the second one was more like talking about the present and values
yep.
and understanding that, which is epic. But throughout that week, I had a really shit time, which is interesting. It's
yep.
and this is why I've created what it was, and it was always something that I wanted.
Yep.
So just in that third session, I sort of said to the guys, said, look, I didn't want this 4 weeks to be about me, but you know, I think it's time that I need to share something. So I
yeah.
sort of talked about the stress that I went through that week. Like that, so I had a significant event for me in the past, as my best mate passed with cancer.
Yep.
Something's getting used to talk about every time I do it, which
yeah.
is great. But, you know, she's a big sort of mental shift for me in my life journey, was her passing. And then in the same week, one of the guys from back home committed suicide that I went to school with.
In yeah, right.
Yeah, so like he was back home, but it just happened all in the same week, and it just fucking devoed
yeah.
away. And I was like, all right, so I needed to share something, and it was, the feedback is what I needed. And straight away, you know, like his weight had lifted and just
yep.
felt so much better. And I was just like, mate, we're still halfway through this project that I'm trying to build, and
yep.
and trying to be the guy at the front, and just fucking breaking down in front of
but
these
I think
dudes.
That, that's
so
one
weird.
Of the most powerful things is if I were to be at that and to see the guy who's organized it being just as vulnerable, because most people are probably looking at you like, fuck, Conrad's got his shit together, you know, he's and you touched on it before, we're all just figuring it out every day, and like,
oh yeah,
the vulnerability is like to see someone that you go there because you respect what they're doing, and to see them being open, I'm just like, fuck yeah, that person's honest, and like that's a real person,
yeah,
they're not a robot,
yeah. That was the moment for me that, like, this is what we want and we crave and all
yeah.
the rest of it. And when the demographic is really interesting. Like I said, I want to try to get a whole variety of that. And there's so many men's groups out there, and they've all got their own twist, and I think it's great and awesome. But there were definitely some guys that got a little bit intimidated
yep.
about it. And
yep.
And I get that because they're like, oh, we're trying to create something as well. And I'm like, mate, let's just, you know, it's if you want to work together, we want to work together, all the rest of it's cool.
Yep.
But I think it's important to note that we always see mental health as this people that have had massive struggles, you know, like, you know, whether it be abused as a kid or not having the upbringing that they need, you know, had been to prison, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
People see mental health as, you know, you need to have all those significant events, whereas just having sometimes a shitty week is enough to trigger or stem more shit down the track.
Exactly.
And that's sort of the people that I'm trying to help or to open up that.
Because, well, yeah,
you know, we don't want to be the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's really important. We want to get there before.
Well, the, yeah, there's so many people who that comparison, they go, oh, my challenge or problem's not big enough. You know, there's people with worse stuff, which it's all circumstantial. Like, it's all relative to what you've gone through in your own life. And I think everyone's the biggest shit that you're that's going on in anyone's life right now is the biggest for them. You shouldn't compare it to what anyone else has been through. And that's often why a lot of people, maybe a reason why a lot of people don't want to share their stuff is because they're like, oh, it's not that big deal. You know, Conrad's gone through what you just said, shared you went through. And so I go, oh, I'll just keep quiet today. And I say, no, fuck, get it off your chest. Like, it's important to talk about it. And it may be the one thing that gives someone else some perspective. Or
absolutely. And I challenged one of the guys on day one because he said exactly that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says, oh, I don't want to, you know, like, oh, this seems insignificant for me and all the rest of it. Little did I know that he didn't really want to. Like, he almost didn't come, but his wife kicked him out the door and said, you got to do this, which is awesome. Absolute legend, great dude. But it was really cool seeing his sort of journey over the 4 weeks. But I challenged him on that, and I said the exact same thing. And it came from Jess, my partner, again, just talking to me about it. About, we always talk about gratitude and being really thankful for what we've got, which is absolutely really important. But sometimes that can cloud the shit stuff as well that we don't actually deal with, and it can be the minute little thing, and that's basically what anxiety is, isn't it? You can't deal with that little stuff over and over again, where you actually have to unpack that and bring that up and talk about it, because your 10 out of 10 is different from someone else's 10 out of 10, but it's still 10 out of 10.
Yep.
So yeah.
And that's how we get different perspectives, like, because we can all sing, but some people, 10 out of 10 is tremendous. And other people's 10 out of 10, like mine, is
karaoke bar.
I wouldn't even bring it out there, bro. Like, no, I'm terrible. But that's I'm putting myself down there.
Yeah,
but
I think you are.
That's where I sort of...
Hey, but we all know our strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, allow my missus to have the strength in that area.
Yeah, well, you're probably judging yourself as something pretty significant here.
100%.
Yeah.
But so for you, for like, with the, what you're trying to achieve, I guess, over the next 12 months, with the man cave, like, what's your sort of vision so far? And I know it's always going to change and evolve, but with where your head's at right now, where's the direction you're going?
So it's a great question. I don't have an honest answer for that. I literally just want a space for guys in my situation to chat. And if we need further, you know, cycle counselling help, we're going to pay for tickets and there's going to be donations. We'll hopefully, if we can, help pay for you or reduce the burden of seeking further help. So within my scope and my understanding of a dietitian, you got to know when to refer people on and when to, you know, how far you go. And that's, I think, a really important part of the connections we're trying to make with people in our city, and why I'm talking to so many people about this. And again, like, I always put my hand up and say, we're not a psych service.
Yep.
Really important to note the difference, and we aren't trying to fix people, but hey, let's start to be the first point of call, so then guys aren't stuck not being able to at least
ask for help.
Because that's the thing, it's asking for help, but also knowing that they may need help.
Yep.
Like, there's the significance of the event or where they're at.
For sure. Who would you say, I know we sort of briefly covered this, but like, for anyone listening, like, who would you recommend, or what may be the thoughts that someone's experiencing that you would say, hey man, come along to this, to the man cave, like,
I don't know. That's always a hard one because getting a guy to come out of their shell and not really knowing anybody there is daunting as fuck, really. Like,
especially when you don't know and you say circle. Like, I always go, but for me, I'm always like, fuck, is this like an AA meeting? Like, is that how it's being portrayed?
Yeah.
And then you see images.
I think it's just take every opportunity as an opportunity. There's no commitment to be there. There's no... You can turn out once. You don't have to share anything.
Yep.
You don't have to, you know, commit to so many weeks. It's merely an opportunity for you if you're like, I'm just interested to see, you know, what guys are talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know more about where the struggles other guys face and see if I've got the same ones. We've all got, you know, things that happen in our lives. If you struggle, like, I think the key thing is you're struggling to sleep. Do you, anxious when you wake up.
Yeah.
For some people, they don't know what that is. Is it just that feeling of like, just, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Like, edge, it's kind of like if you had too many coffees.
Yep.
Yep. There's anyone and everyone. That's a really hard question to ask of what I'd say to people. But take that first step.
I think it's
big growth in mind and
I think I've had people come up to me even. We went to a wedding last week and the guy's come and said, I've been wanting to come, but I just don't know really what it is and I don't, you know, I don't want people to think I have a problem. And I think the most important thing I want people to understand is that you're not coming to this because you have a problem. Right? You're coming, you may have a problem, but you're coming to this because you want to upgrade. It's like, I always go back to the iPhone analogy. Everyone's quick to get the new fucking phone every year, even though you don't need it or you haven't paid out your contract, but everyone's like, I want to upgrade. It's the same shit.
Oh, 100%.
I'm going to this men's circle because I want to upgrade. Even if you don't feel you have a significant challenge right now, I just want to go to upgrade to learn what people are talking about, what the new ways of looking at things, how people have overcome challenges. Like, that's the way I constantly look at it. And it's like, you would experience the same thing. I feel so grateful to be in the room. Even though I've got my support network where I get to talk about it, often I don't even speak at it. I just get to listen. I love that because I'm learning about what's going on in the community and what's going on for men at the moment.
Mm.
Which is...
Yeah, nailed it. I don't think... Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah, and that's where... I almost didn't get on that plane to Melbourne.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, you saw the other people, not worthy, fucking everything under the sun.
Bro, that's
it, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. It was it was pretty much that feeling of lack of self-worth at that time.
Yep.
Like, there were a lot of dudes there that were playing.
Oh, mate, that was phenomenal.
I didn't even bloody watch AFL, but... Yeah, you know, some of those do. Like, I knew some of
the
names.
We all did the Instagram stalk, man. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
So how it went down? We got emailed the list of obviously being invited to go along. But then when you see all the other names, and I was the same. I was like to Amy, I was like, why the fuck am I on here? Like, these guys are fucking superstars in their own fields, and some were, you know, elite level AFL players. Some were, everyone was the best, the cream of the crop. And then I'm like, you see this may have been how you viewed it, but then you see yourself there and you're like, fuck is going on here? Why am I here? Like, I don't have anything like what they've done. So you sort of that imposter syndrome. But going back to, you know, what kept going on for you based around not wanting to get on the plane, was it the low self-esteem, low self-worth? What made you get on the plane?
Mrs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wanted to go. I was like, yeah, I've got to do this. And it's the best thing for me. I genuinely thought it was like learning about how to deal with guys and like, sort of like, how can I help our rugby players? Like, it's genuinely what I thought it was going to be, because we had no idea.
No
clues. They had to sear us and basically
deep end.
Yeah, essentially, and started talking about our emotions, and that's a very like, heavy
like,
thing.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, what's going on here? So with that, I think that the passion, when I talked to the team at Lulu, was like, I kind of always had a deep down passion for men's health. But I don't know what it was.
Yep.
But it was absolutely, that intimidation factor was the biggest one for me. And even looking at even your Instagram and stuff, and I was like, far out, you know, I'm a little fish in a big pond here. But mate, it's just when you get there and you actually, it's just like being at work.
Yep.
Yeah, that first, ooh. yeah, you know, there's some big dogs here, but in reality, they're other people just like us.
We're all the same.
We are all the same, and that was the biggest learning that I took away from that. So if you're ever thinking that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you don't deserve to be there, mate, that's one of the worst excuses, because...
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things that's going to hold you back.
Mm.
Because, yeah, I went. I'm sure a lot of the other lads went through the same fucking thing.
They all said it.
Yeah.
Everybody there said it. It was crazy.
I don't deserve to be here. And you're like, fuck, like, you know, if you keep it. All right, we're back. We just had a random little interruption and we've lost our train of thought. So bear with us.
We're bad. Well, I think we're kind of ending up a little... Probably didn't get due for something else.
Yeah, that's good. Let's we'll restart. We could re-listen, which we did, but I've already forgotten what we're talking about. I think it was the man cave.
Yeah, just getting people in, and yeah. and we talked about
upgrading.
Yeah, getting us what happened at the huddle with those boys or us.
Yeah,
boys.
Or how our perspective was, and you weren't going to get on the plane. Mm. Aside, and then obviously your partner made you get on the plane, which is probably the greatest thing ever, or you wouldn't be sitting next to me right now and you guys wouldn't be listening to his dreamy voice.
I've got a disgusting Kiwi accent. One of the worst,
like, mate, I got the Bogan Aussie accent.
Yeah, well, you listen to like New Zealand movies, it's, yeah, you can tell it's a Kiwi.
Truck Flats, mate, is, oh, did you
classic
guys, yeah, mate, yeah. It's all time, it's,
yeah,
fucking awesome. But I want to ask you, like, what would be one piece of advice that you think would have had a huge impact on your life? If you could give that to your 16 or 18 year old self, what would that be? What would that bit of advice be?
Fucking do it your way. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing.
Yep.
That literally popped in my head.
Just then.
5 seconds. Yep. Something that I, because we spoke about sort of me at high school getting bullied and being the small guy and used to get binned and flushed and.
Binned.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, we had these, basically, this is what happens at public school in Whangarei. We had these like fertilizer drums, the,
yep,
big blue ones.
Yep.
Like, they used to just be full, obviously, with rubbish, and I used to get chucked in head first all the time.
Fuck.
Yeah, so I basically got to, yeah, year 11. So that's 2 years, 3 years away from uni. So in the middle of high school, so we have 5 years of high school. But I was so worried about trying to please everybody and make everybody else happy that I completely forgot to make myself and follow my own passion and dreams.
Yep.
And I think that was a beautiful thing. So I was really competitive with golf. I got down to scratch handicap. Yes. And I only had to focus on myself,
yep,
and do what I was doing.
Yep.
And when I look back in hindsight, it's always a classic thing, isn't it?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I think I did quite well in it, is because I was only having to better myself, not,
yep,
trying to compete against,
yep,
everybody else.
That's
and listen to everybody else and what they were telling me to do.
Oh yeah, man. That's, I would, if I could, that'd be one of the biggest things as well, was just trust yourself. Or yeah, that's fucking spot on. This is always the belter. This is, and I always like to sort of pre-frame this before I ask it. I love asking every individual that comes on the podcast what their definition of being a man is, because it's not generally, everyone sort of overthinks it and goes, I need to give a good answer. But it's like, as individuals, we're all striving for something different based upon our view of the world and, you know, the experiences that we've had. But for you, what would your response to that question be? What is your definition of being a man?
I think it's giving everything to the people that matter most in all aspects. So as you've heard, I'm a complete believer of the pillars and you as a whole,
mm-hmm,
and giving you to the people that matter in every single way of those pillars. So that's,
yep,
physically, spiritually,
yep,
emotionally, mentally.
Mm.
If you can, that is my definition of what a man is. Doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to put a value on it.
Yep.
Again, your 10's the same, your 10 out of 10, same as someone else's 10 out of 10. It's as long as you're giving the people that matter,
yep,
you're all, it balanced across all four of those.
Fuck yeah.
Not just turning up, being, and,
yep,
not being present.
Yep.
You know, that's a classic one. And
yeah, not just,
know,
ticking the box, but being 100%. Fucking intentional with,
yeah, it. And that goes with everything, you know?
100%. And two random last questions, which literally just popped in my head.
Go.
Actually, before I do, Is there anything else you wanted to add or feel would be valuable to the lads out there?
Not really. We didn't probably dive too much into the nutrition stuff that I thought we might have jumped into, but I might just touch on the importance of nutrition. And like I said to you before we jumped on, like an overall, so there's some new research, new papers, literature. I like to talk about the word literature rather than papers, because papers is just some, can be a blog as well.
Yep. So
really, there's some really good evidence out there that says that a diet can actually help reduce the amount of antidepressant use, and it comes down to like good quality diet and all that as well. So it just shows that the relationship that you have with food and the effort you put into understanding quality food, I'm not saying eat completely clean.
Yeah.
Like there's a balance that has beers and donuts and burgers and stuff in it. But as long as that's not every day.
Burgers,
Oh, I'm a big burger fan. but it's really important that you balance, you know, what good health is. And there's enough resource out there in terms of, like, the governmental guidelines are still the balance between every single diet that are contradicting each other.
Yep.
They sit themselves right in the middle of all that when you step back and look at it. Yep. So lots of veggies, lots of fruit and veg is what they found. Good lean proteins, you know, good whole grains. Stop focusing on the end goal and focus on where you are right now and what makes you feel good. There's some good evidence behind that in terms of reducing you know, antidepressant use and better mind. And you found that out in terms of making sure you eat enough as well.
100%.
If you're someone that, like a tradie, classic example, that they don't eat enough, and when they eat, it's like pies and shit from
that
the
bakery.
That was me
at one point as well,
yeah. Yeah, it's such an easy trap to get into. Like when I worked physical work, it's you're hungry all the time. Yep. You're smashing heaps of bread buns and no wholesome food.
Chocolate milks. And
yeah. So yeah, the next tip nutritionally I give you is make lunch as good, if not better than dinner.
Yep.
So if you're going to sit down and have that lunch, would you have it for dinner? If not, change it. Make it better, because that will be the difference between how you act in that afternoon and the person that you walk through that door that evening.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that, ever.
And third one, mate, sleep. I cannot emphasize the importance of sleep. I harp on about it. I'm awful at it.
I'm awful at it.
Yeah, there's one paper that was really useful. If you are on a journey of weight loss, weight is the relationship of you to the ground. It doesn't differentiate the difference between fat, bone, muscle, water, all the rest of it. There's a study that came out, 5.5 hours versus 8.5 hours sleep difference. Yep. They lost the same amount of weight. Those that slept more lost 55% more fat of that weight.
Really?
Yeah. So it just shows the importance of sleep, even on weight loss journeys. So when people get up and they go, I've just got to get to the gym, so I'm going to sacrifice my sleep to get to the gym in the morning because I need to lose weight, it's not that at all. Like, yeah, that's a habit, a good habit to get into in terms of making sure you create change and get the physical component of movement. But in reality, if you're compromising your ability to actually lose fat, that is what
it's almost like you got to earn the right to train by getting your sleep in.
Absolutely. I that's awesome. Earn the right to train by getting a good night's sleep in. So get to bed early, turn off Netflix. Yeah. Netflix is holding you back.
Yeah, fucking Netflix. Or if you're on Stan as well, or the Disney one. But it's earning the right to train.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just burn yourself out. Because there's a lot of people at the, especially the gym that I train at, there's a lot of high performers, and they sacrifice sleep in order to get the gym in. But you're just like, you're constantly running in a high stress state all the time. And then you throw on hectic workouts
on top of it,
and you're sleeping 5 hours. No wonder you're walking around with the red rings in your eyes and you feel like shit,
and you're topping up the coffee and pre-workouts trying to get through it.
It's a bad habit to break.
If you have to use pre-workout, if you feel like you need it, you've obviously done something wrong earlier.
There's other issues going on. That's what I believe as well.
So the importance of sleep, it's a whole other raft of things. It's like the suppression of the immune system. Like, they're starting to draw conclusions between sleep and cancer over a long period of time, and also aging.
Yeah,
like, it's like, in terms of the reduction in sleep is massive.
Well, that's probably why I look like I'm about 50, because I'm
the same.
Then neglected sleep, and I have a grey beard.
Fucking
top it up. Even though, like, I use an Oura ring. I don't wear it during the day, but I use that to track my sleep. And like last week, my average sleep was 5 hours and 45 minutes. So this week is like, I need to really get that up. It's like my readiness score last week was terrible.
Yeah.
I was like sitting at 60, 70.
Did you slow down last week?
No, last week I was hammering it. Oh, that's the week before. Last week I was hammering it, but this
week. How are you feeling this
week? I feel, as soon as it got to Friday, I was like, right, I'm sleeping in Saturday.
Mm.
I went for a surf, but then I think I was in bed 7 o'clock on Saturday night, literally slept 12 hours. Felt awesome, and now this week I've really been prioritizing sleeping, and I feel good, and food. Like, yeah. I'm prioritizing both, but when you can track it, and you can see how long it takes you to get to sleep, and all that sort of stuff, and...
It's quality, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
seeing, like, I wake because I'm a mouth breather because my nose is munted.
Yeah, rugby.
Rugby's an easy answer. Like, you can see how long, like, how many times you wake up and stuff. So even though I'm saying, right, I'm in bed at 8 and getting up at 4, like, I woke up 10 times. I'm not just talking potentially about quality, but, like, so now that I'm aware of that, I'm like, right, how can I make sure I don't wake up as much? Like, what can I do? You know, limiting my sugars before bed and, you know, eating, you know, trying to eat my last meal by 6, I've found works well for me. And even exercising, I don't like to exercise after sort of 4 or 5 p.m. because I want to get my heart, because I've seen times where it's been like 1 p.m., my heart rate's still up and then it goes, I'm like, fuck, man. So like the first 4 hours of sleep, I still haven't been resting, really.
Yeah, well, cortisol starts to reduce at around 3 p.m., depending on obviously where you are. So if you look at that and go, oh, I'm trying to tack on exercise at 5 or 6, you're just spiking it again to get through. Well, that's where adrenaline comes in. But, you know, like, it's if that's happening all the time, there's some research coming out around when to train, but obviously working into schedule.
If you're in
the morning, if you're not, you're not. But things like that, if you really want to get deep into it, but again, that's a 1%er.
Yeah, 100%.
General rule of thumb, get 8 hours.
Yep.
We can't emphasize that enough. And I stand up for most of my seminars.
Yep.
I might touch, for a 2 hour seminar, I might do 15 minutes tops on what you should and shouldn't eat.
Really?
The rest of the time's on like sleep, stress management.
Yep.
All those other pillars that I talk about, and it comes into like how does your body actually work in terms of like calories in, calories out, and under eating, the impact that it has. And when you start getting lethargic, and when we talked about your body actually slowing down when you under eat, you're not fidgeting as much, so your output's actually reducing, little things like that.
Yeah,
and it comes from sleep deprivation as well, can impact that.
It's in depth. There's there's a really good audio which I listened to.
There's actually a really good TED talk that covers it.
Oh really?
Yeah, in 20 minutes. What's the guy's name? Mark someone?
No one breath. Where is my sleep? I'm just on my Audible for those who... Sleep Smarter by Sean. That's a good book. There was another sleep one I had.
Because you listen to that before you sleep, are you?
Yeah. There was another one like Why We Sleep by Matthew someone, which was a phenomenal book as well. But it goes into like chronotypes, like sleep cycles and when you peak, and it's wild. It's amazing.
I think understanding the sleep cycle is a really important one as well. 100%. And also your own sleep cycle, that's where those apps and stuff can be quite cool, because they talk about the quality, and you're trying to, if you love numbers, you're chasing a number that is actually positive rather than negative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn,
everywhere.
Try to spread myself pretty just
get there.
Yeah, just seed.
I'll drop the link in the show notes so you guys can click on it and find
Conrad Goodhue. It's not Jack Goodhue's cousin. It finishes HEW, so it's pretty there's not a lot of me's out there, so
there's no me's.
I don't think I've found it yet. It's Conrad's, but not Conrad Goodhue's anywhere. So,
and two questions: who's going to win this weekend?
What game is it?
Crusaders and
Sunwolves. We've definitely got to say it.
I was going to say Sunwolves.
No.
And what about the whole comp this year? Who's going to win the Super 15? Well, is it Super 15 or are we back to 14?
It's just Super Rugby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I think it's changing
all the time.
Yeah, but, I've got to say us. Come on. Like, mate, 3 on the trot. We're chasing something big here. Never been done before.
Oh, so. Really? Never?
No, don't think so. No, there's three.
Yep.
Before it's been done once before, so. Yeah, it's exciting times.
Game on.
Hell yeah. Love it.
All right, brother. We'll appreciate you jumping on and sharing all that. Like, we didn't, you know, if you want to find out more about the nutrition dietitian and Conrad's view of or way of doing things, click on any of the links, we'll go search him on all of the platforms he mentioned and just slide into his DMs. That's the best way to go.
Instagram is definitely easiest to handle if you are firing some messages by far.
Yeah, and you do a lot of videos and stuff as well. You put out great content. So even if you just want to see how he operates and see what he looks like, jump on there. Pleasure, bro.
No, I appreciate it. This is awesome.
First one.
Yeah, yeah. Cherry's popped.
It's done. Yeah. Hope I was gentle. No. Yeah.